Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 38 of our podcast, Then and Now. I'm your host, John Chomo. Today, we'll review the facts of the week for November 15th through 21st. We'll tackle a couple of current event issues as usual, and a couple of questions in our Three Good Questions segment at the end. So let's get her going, shall we? First off, a shout out to a couple of friends that had some brunch with this morning. That's Sue Whitman and Lisa Dunton from Talmadge High School, all of us now enjoying our retirement. Shout out to both Sue and Lisa. Always great to see you. I'll also pitch this, mentioned it a couple times earlier. We're going to do a special podcast probably in the next week. Then and Now remembers the JFK assassination. It's the first real world event that I vividly remember as a young kid. And I've been asked by several people to go through my story, for lack of a better way to put it, of what I remember and what it was like that day and that weekend. So we'll be putting that together here in the next week or so. Look for that coming up. Again, Then and Now remembers the JFK assassination. That'll be coming up shortly. You can get it where you get this podcast, on Spotify. All right, our facts of the week for November 15th through 21. On November 15th, 1777, the Continental Congress approved our first rules, really, for the United States government, the Articles of Confederation. The Articles of Confederation were a weak government system on the national level. Most of the power, almost all of the power, was left to the 13 states. Again, this is in the middle of the Revolutionary War, also. That's a factor. It is Republic Day in Brazil, November 15th, 1889, the anniversary of that. Intel introduced the microprocessor on November 15th, 1971. Talk about an invention that changed the world for millions of things. Like, I wouldn't be sitting here doing this if there hadn't been a microprocessor invented. Justice Felix Frankfurter, one of the great Supreme Court justices in our history, and also a great name, by the way. Felix Frankfurter, born November 15th, 1882. The late, great actor Ed Asner, who is most known for his role as Lou Grant in the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ed Asner would have been 95. Actor Sam Waterston, who has played in lots of good films and TV shows, most known probably as his role, in the TV series Law & Order. Sam Waterston, now 84 years old. Sean Murray, who has played Agent McGee on NCIS for all these years, Sean Murray is 47. And NBA star Karl-Anthony Towns will be 29 on November 15th. Moving on, November 16th, Oklahoma was admitted as the 47th state on November 16th, 1907. Burgess Meredith, the great actor who played Penguin as I grew up watching Batman on ABC TV in the late 1960s, And he was a great Shakespearean actor and all this stuff. And it's funny that these are the two roles that I remember him as. The Penguin and Rocky's trainer, Mick, who did the cut thing in the corner during the movie Rocky. Burgess Meredith, born November 16th, 1909. Former Boston Celtic great Hall of Famer JoJo White, born November 16th, 1946. Sadly, he's no longer with us. JoJo White was out of Kansas University. He was the 1976 NBA Finals Most Valuable Player, leading the Celtics to a six-game win over the Phoenix Suns. Corey Pavin, 1995 U.S. Open Golf Champ, will be 65. Dwight Gooden, the mercurial young teenage sensation when he came up with the New York Mets and led the league in strikeouts and struck out five in a row in the All-Star game as a teenager. Had some personal issues as he went on through his career. Dwight Gooden got it together now. That's great to know. He is 60. Actress Maggie Gyllenhaal will be 47. And actor and sometimes SNL guy Pete Davidson will be 31. On November 17th, the first ever session of Congress in the quote-unquote new Capitol building. It's the center, if you will, of the building that still exists today on Capitol Hill. The first session of Congress in that building took place November 17th, 1800. The Suez Canal opened in Egypt on November 17th, 1869. It was built by the French, FYI. President Nixon, you know, there's every politician and most of us in life probably have a couple of things that we'd like to take back that we said Maybe if you could go back and talk to Richard Nixon, he might regret saying in a press conference on November 17th, 1973, quote, "I am not a crook." That didn't stand up. That didn't stand the test of time very well. On NBC television, November 17th, 1968, the Oakland Raiders were hosting the New York Jets in an American Football League game that started 4 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock out on the West Coast. The TV schedule, which the networks stuck to religiously back then, had NBC showing the film, the made-for-TV film Heidi, the adaptation of Heidi, starting at 7 o'clock. Well, most NFL games didn't go 3 hours back then. There were less TV commercials and so forth. But this game was kind of a crazy one. And as it sped towards 7 o'clock Eastern time, the NBC executives didn't know what to do. So some bright guy in NBC in New York decided, well, let's pull the plug on the game at 7 and start Heidi on time. We've spent a lot on advertising on Heidi, the film. Let's do that. So as they went to break and started the film Heidi at 7 o'clock, the Jets led the game with about a minute and a half to go. The Raiders scored twice in that last minute and a half and won the game. They're literally, now this is back before internet or anything like that, right? Literally, there were fans in New York and on the East Coast and in the middle of the country that went to bed thinking the Jets had won the game. Johnny Sample, who was a Jets player, got back to the airport in New York early in the morning, and his father met him and congratulated him on winning the game. He said, "Dad, we lost the game." That became known as the Heidi game, and it changed television forever in that now, you may notice, on Sunday evening, even if CBS or Fox are televising a game that's 41-0, they will show every play of the game before they go to their evening programming, 60 minutes or whatever it might be. That's all due to what happened on November 17th, 1968. The Heidi game on NBC changed all of that. Lots of birthdays on November 17th. These next four people were born literally on the same day, November 17th, 1944. So those who are alive are 80 years old. Basketball Hall of Fame coach from Syracuse, Jim Boeheim. The creator and still producer of Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels. The actor Danny DeVito, who you see now more in sandwich commercials, you know, than in acting roles, I guess, Jersey Mike's. And the Hall of Fame pitcher, the late, great Tom Seaver, who I saw pitch numerous times in person. The late Tom Seaver, one of the great pitchers of all time, would have been 80 on November 17th. Other birthdays on that date include Martin Scorsese, the director, who will be 82. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner from southwestern Ohio. I bet he's really happy, you know, in the country club, clubhouse, sipping a cognac, smoking a cigar, that he doesn't have to worry about anything going on in Washington like he used to. John Boehner will be 75. And a couple of my former colleagues at Talmadge High School. THS faculty great Kim Carlson celebrates a birthday on November 17th, as does former THS teacher and highly successful football coach, the great Joe Vassalotti. Happy birthday to both Kim and Joe. November 18th, standard time zones were adopted in North America on November 18th, 1883. Prior to that, it's hard to even comprehend that the time was wherever the sun was in your town. They adopted the standard time zones for train travel so that train companies could put together schedules that made sense. That's why they did it, and thank goodness they did it. The movie Steamboat Willie premiered in theaters November 18, 1928, introducing one of the most enduring film characters of all time, the great Mickey Mouse. The Touchtone, easy for me to say, the Touchtone phone was introduced by Ma Bell on November 18, 1963. Birthdays include Alan Shepard, the first American to fly in space and the first person and only person to play golf on the moon. Alan Shepard, born November 18, 1928. Speaking of moon, Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon out of Washington will be 68. Actor Owen Wilson will be 56. And Big Poppy, David Ortiz, one of the most clutch hitters in postseason play in recent memory, Big Poppy will be 49. On November 19th, Christopher Columbus and his crew landed in Puerto Rico on their second voyage to the New World. He didn't really know it was Puerto Rico or anything. On November 19th, 1493, Columbus, highly overrated, by the way, for you historians out there. The Gettysburg Address, given by President Abraham Lincoln to dedicate the National Cemetery at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, November 19th, 1863. It proved you can say a lot in very few words. The U.S. Senate rejected the Treaty of Versailles, ending the First World War, on November 19, 1919. The United States never did sign the Treaty of Versailles. Apollo 12 landed on the moon, the second ever manned moon landing, on November 19, 1969. Pete Conrad and Alan Bean became the third and fourth human beings to walk on the moon. I have always loved what Pete Conrad said as he came down the ladder. As you probably know, Neil Armstrong, earlier that summer, said that's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind when he set foot on the moon. Pete Conrad came down the ladder and said, that may have been a small step for Neil, but that sure was a big step for me. I always love it. Pete Conrad was kind of short. That adds to the story, I suppose. On a more serious note, the Jonestown Massacre took place in Guyana. November 19, 1978, the Reverend Jim Jones led his people's temple worshipers, hundreds of them, down to Guyana to establish a colony. The guy was a megalomaniac. And the feds and congressmen and newsmen and women were snooping around there. And there was actually a shooting at the airport. A couple of people were killed in. But after that happened, Jim Jones led his flock, if you will, to a shelter where they drank poison Kool-Aid and died by the hundreds in front of one another, and they kept lining up and kept drinking it. That's the hold he had on those people. It's really scary to think about, but that happened for real. Birthdays on November 19th. The 19th president, James A. Garfield, born on that date at Orange, Ohio, up near the lake. On November 19th, 1831. Hall of Fame catcher Roy Campanella, three-time National League Most Valuable Player. His career was cut short by a car accident that paralyzed him from the waist down. Roy Campanella, born November 19th, 1921. Some great actors. Allison Janney, who played C.J. Craig on The West Wing, will be 65. Meg Ryan will be 63. And Jodie Foster will be 62. How's that for a triumvirate of great lady actors? That's tremendous. Chicago Blackhawks, longtime Chicago Blackhawks star, now a Red Wing, to the dismay of those in Chicago. Patrick Kane, who helped lead the Blackhawks to three Stanley Cups last decade. Patrick Kane will be 36 on November 19th. November 20th saw New Jersey be the first state to ratify the Bill of Rights. November 20th, 1789. The Revolution of 1910 in Mexico occurred on November 20th of that year. Windows 1.0, the first version, was released on November 20th, 1985. The Stanford-Cal game, one of the great rivalries in college football. The 1982 game is probably the most famous. It was the game where Stanford took a lead with 4 seconds to go, had to just kick off and prevent Cal from scoring. And Cal performed lateral upon lateral upon lateral until the last guy scored, crossed the goal line, and crashed into the trombone player in the end zone. The announcer was screaming, "The band is on the field." That unforgettable game was November 20th, 1982, at the University of California. I happened to attend my first of three Michigan-Ohio State games on November 20th, 2004, with my then 10-year-old son, Matt. The Buckeyes were big underdogs that day to the Wolverines, who could clinch the Big Ten title with a win. Ohio State, only 6 wins at the time, rolled out sophomore quarterback Troy Smith and sophomore wide receiver Anthony Gonzalez and Santonio Holmes, and routed the Wolverines 37-21. That was really a lot of fun. Kennesaw Mountain Landis, the first commissioner of baseball, born November 20th, 1866. Senator Robert C. Byrd, longtime Democratic senator from West Virginia, and when I say longtime, I'm talking like 50 years. Robert C. Byrd, born November 20th, 1917. Half of the buildings in the state are named after him, it seems. Joe Walsh, who used to cavort around here, usually up in Kent as a member of the James Gang. He then was in the Eagles. He's been in Ringo's All-Star Band for a long time. Joe Walsh will be 77. Robert F. Kennedy, whose poster I'm literally looking at the moment in my little office here. Robert F. Kennedy, born November 20th, 1925. Sadly, assassinated at the age of 42. That's one of the great what-ifs in history in my lifetime, I believe. President Biden, happy birthday to Joe Biden. He will be 82 years old, the oldest person ever to occupy the office, on November 20th of this year. Happy birthday, Joe, and thanks for all you've done. Actress Bo Derek, the movie 10, for those of you who remember that one, will be 68, and singer Dierks Bentley will be 49. Finally, for this week, on November 21st, North Carolina became the 12th state as it ratified the Constitution on that date in 1789. Thomas Edison, Ohioan, introduced the phonograph, record player, if you will, on November 21st, 1877. President and Mrs. Kennedy left the White House, flew to Texas on November 21st, 1963, for a two-day political trip that, as you know, ended in one of the great tragedies of American history. Birthdays on November 21st. Stan the Man, Stan Musial, the greatest cardinal of them all, born November 21st, 1920. Earl the Pearl Monroe, super basketball player, born November 21st, 1944. Harold Ramis was born on that date as well, the late movie director and actor. Three Hall of Famers also, in addition to Stan and Earl. Troy Aikman, longtime quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, now announces Monday Night Football on ESPN. Troy Aikman will be 58. Ken Griffey Jr., born in the same hometown as Stan Musial, Denora, Pennsylvania, as was Ken Griffey's father, Ken Griffey Sr. How about that? Three baseball players that good from the same little town in western Pennsylvania. Ken Griffey Jr., the Hall of Famer, will be 55. And Hall of Fame defensive lineman and now television star Michael Strahan will be 53 on November 21st. That's it for our facts for the week, if you will. Again, look for the special podcast on the JFK assassination coming out later on in about a week or so. All right, to a couple of current topics. First of all, latest updates that we have as of this recording on House and Senate numbers in the U.S. Congress. The House of Representatives, there are still 9 or 10 seats that haven't been called yet. A lot of them, I think 5 of them, are in California, where they count mail-in ballots very slowly. One of them's in Ohio, Representative Marcy Kaptur's seat up along the lakeshore and up toward Toledo there. Her lead is just under 1,000 votes with 99% of the votes counted, FYI. It looks to me like it's trending to be about a 220 to 215 Republican advantage, just about identical to what it was after the last election. It really hasn't. The numbers haven't changed much at all. We'll see in the end how those last few districts shake out. But I looked at it this morning, and my best guess is it's about 220 to 215, a very, very thin majority for the Republicans. And last time, 2 years ago, they couldn't even elect a speaker with that thin of a majority, if you recall. It took them a long, long time. So we'll see how they handle it. On the Senate side, it's for sure 52 Republicans. It might be 53. It's probable that David McCormick, the Republican, will win over Senator Bob Casey in Pennsylvania. That would make it 53-47. Now, you always want to be in the majority, but there's something in the U.S. Senate called the filibuster, which, if you had me in class, I tried to explain. It's very tough to explain because it doesn't make a lot of sense. The filibuster is a Senate rule by which one side or the other, or a number of senators, can kind of put a hold on doing something and say, we'll call for a vote of cloture, it's called. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds with this. Long story made short, if you can't get 60 votes to continue and proceed with a bill, then you can kind of stall or kill the bill. And the Democrats certainly, if they feel the need to resort to a filibuster, they certainly will have the numbers to do that. So 53-47. Yeah, I'd rather be in majority than not. You can't filibuster court appointments, so they will get their judges in. But on bills other than that, the filibuster is certainly in play in the Senate for the next 2 years. Moving on to basketball, let's mention the local team here. The Cleveland Cavaliers are off to one of the best starts in NBA history. As of this recording, they're 12-0 on the season. They play the 76ers tonight, and they play the Bulls on Friday night. Here are the teams in NBA history that have gotten off to 12-0 starts. 12 wins to start the season, the 1996-97 Jordan Pippen Chicago Bulls, and the 1982-83 Seattle Supersonics. Two teams went 14 in a row before losing, the 2002-03 Dallas Mavericks and the 1957-58 Boston Celtics. Both won their first 14 games. 15 in a row, that goes to the 1993-94 Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Houston Rockets, and the 1948-49 Washington Capitals, of whom I know none of. The longest streak to start the season, this will pique your interest, Cavs fans, the 2015-2016 Golden State Warriors won their first 24 games on their way to a 73-9 regular season. And you local fans know what happened in the end. The Cavaliers beat them in seven games in the NBA Finals to claim their one and only NBA championship. So 12-0 start. I'd rather do it than not do it. But there are no guarantees about a championship. That Celtics team, by the way, the 57-58 team, was the only team with Red Auerbach as coach and Bill Russell as player that didn't win the NBA title in their 11 years together. That team lost in six games to the St. Louis Hawks, the Hawks franchise-only title, by the way. Russell was hurt during the finals. He had a bad ankle. He played on it, as men did then. And they got beat. That was the only finals that Russ lost in his career. Okay, let's move to the three good questions segment here. I got two questions, and I'm going to ask you guys this week these two questions. One of them comes from Jeff Cole, the first one. Let's see if you know these. There are 13, count them, Division I men's basketball programs in Ohio. How many can you name without looking them up? Again, there are 13 D1 men's basketball programs in Ohio. How many can you name? Secondly, the second question, talk about subjective here, objective, whatever. I can't remember which means which. What's the greatest game in MLB history? What is the greatest game in Major League Baseball history? Since we had a very memorable game, Game 5 of the World Series this year, talked about that on a previous podcast. That's kind of what brought it to mind. What was the greatest game in MLB history? I'll give you mine next week, and we'll see if we get any responses from our audience. Again, audience, you may respond to the questions, comment on anything that we've talked about on the podcast, get in touch with us any way you'd like to at our email address, which is threegoodquestions, T-H-R-E-E, threegoodquestions @gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, get some feedback from you. Again, our two questions for you this week. There are 13 D1 men's basketball programs in Ohio. How many can you name? And the second question, what was, in your opinion, the greatest game in Major League Baseball history? All right, that'll do it for this week on Then and Now. As always, appreciate the feedback from listeners. I can't get over when people say, hey, I listen to your podcast. It's great. Thank you very much for that. You can get it on Spotify as usual. We appreciate all of you. Hope everybody has a good week and take care of yourselves, will you? Thank you. Bye-bye.